Hello and welcome to the Stories Mania podcast. We're getting back on track with another story entitled Watch the Flowers by Quills. The first sensory awakening was the smell. The biting aroma of grass and dirt pierced her nasal passage. She tried to open her eyes. They wouldn't. She tried to move. She couldn't. It had to be early morning because there was the chill only dawn could produce. She was shivering. It was cold. Her sense of hearing animated. Birds chirping, soft, swift ripples of a breeze moving through the trees. Footsteps. She tried to call out. She couldn't. Footsteps. Closer. Closer. Glass crunching beneath the foot. Twigs breaking. Heavy breathing. Her heartbeat rattled in her chest. It was a horrible thing not to be able to scream when the icy glove of fear pressed upon your chest. She felt a hand on her shoulder, on her cheek. It was warm. She wanted to move towards it like a moth towards a lantern. Are you all right? Can you hear me? The person with the warm hand said loudly. She didn't think the person needed to talk that loud after all. She wasn't deaf. It was definitely a man's voice. He had a very smooth voice, like strong black espresso. She tried to nod. She couldn't. She realized this and tried to shake her head. She couldn't. The man brought his warm fingers to the nape of her neck, apparently checking for a pulse. It tickled. She tried to laugh, but she couldn't. Miss, are you conscious? He asked her again, with the espresso voice and the warm hands. The bird's song and wind's whistling suddenly grew louder, and her heart beat stronger. Her eyes fluttered open. The first sight was of the man. Her heart skipped. His light brown hair was plastered with sweat. His gray eyes reflected the morning. She looked through them. It was like entering a fog, where you don't know which way is left, right, up, or down. She was lost. Are you hurt? He asked. She searched his face for a clue to the situation of mysteries. Where are we? Her voice came out crackled and dry. She felt the metallic taste of blood on her tongue. In some sort of field, in Lancaster, he tried. Her mind fuzzled over this idea. How did I get to Lancaster? Last night. Where was I last night? Listen, are you hurt? Your head looks a bit damaged on the side here, said the man. She reached a lazy hand up and touched the spot that had started to throb excruciatingly. Her fingers retracted, covered in a red substance that looked like blood. My head's bleeding, she croaked. Panic set in. What had happened? Why was she here? Who was this man? He took off his button down and threw it around her shoulders. The warmth immediately spread throughout. The pain subsided for a moment. Yeah, we need to get you to the hospital. Hospital, yes. He snaked an arm behind the small of her back and hoisted her up gently. The throbbing in her head greatly increased. She almost doubled over again in white-hot pain. The man pulled her close, wrapped her arm around his neck. His neck was warm, his body was warm. His clothes seemed to absorb the damp atmosphere. They were frigid like the air. The weeds were crushed beneath their feet. Lemon mint flowers lay shattered and broken in their wake. Now was not a time to be sparing flowers. It sickened her. How could something so innocent and beautiful be killed and trampled without a second thought? Watch the flowers, she let out weakly. He didn't seem to hear her. What's your name? Can't you remember? He asked. Yeah, it's Eleanor, yes, that's right, Eleanor Gardner, she replied hesitantly. That's a beautiful name, Eleanor. Thank you. They were moving along a rural country road now, fields spread out as far as the eye could see. The dirt road coated her lungs with dust they kicked up, it billowed around them. Where are we going? Eleanor asked. Trying to find a phone, or a car, or a house, he answered, breathing heavily from supporting her weight. My head. It hurts, she said in a monotone. We're going to take care of you, all right, he soothed. She smiled. The sun was beginning to peek over the horizon. Solitary beams of light kissed upon the silent earth. The gray of morning seeped beneath the dirt. Pebbles crunched beneath their sluggish steps. Her head hurt. Her arms and her legs hurt. Her mind hurt. What happened? Where was I? Who is this man? Who? What? I mean your name. She asked, stumbling over her tongue. Charlie Eads. Eads? She tried out. Yeah, it's Scottish. Kilts? Bravenheart? He smiled at her, dust billowed in the distance. The roaming of an engine echoed in the distance, heroing hope in the depths of both Charlie and Eleanor. The car drew nearer. "Hey, over there!" shouted Charlie, waving one of his free arms. The car slowed and stopped several feet in front of them. Charlie hurried them both to the driver's window. A man of about 50 poked his head out and gaped at the pier. His hair was combed back into his slicked with grease. His forehead was shiny. She could make out her reflection.
"Jesus, what happened to her head?"
the driver exclaimed. "I have no idea. We need to get her to the hospital," said Charlie, stumbling over her weight. The car's exhaust choked her. The clouds passed slowly overhead.
"Christ,
the nearest one is about an hour from here," said the driver. "Could you take us?"
"I don't know. I got work and all." The elderly man scratched his head.
"Fuck work, she's going to die," Charlie shouted. Eleanor watched this all in a state neither here nor there. She was calm. The pain in her head was somehow separated from her body. She felt at peace. No urgency, just a desperate need to sleep. The driver jumped out of the car and opened the back door for the two. Charlie laid Eleanor across the back seat and ran around to the passenger side. The door slammed. She felt newspapers and some odd hard objects beneath her, but all of her knowledge was of the familiar indifference. A difference to life or death. To the outcome. To the next moment. Floating high on above the clouds. Weightlessness. Extreme freedom. Radical elation. Blackness. "Shit, she's out again," Charlie yelled. White. Everywhere. White sheets, white curtains, white walls, white clothes, white shoes, white floors. It was so bright, so sickening. She wanted to tear the whiteness apart, shred it, make it feel the intense pain she suffered now. Eleanor's long, monogamy hair sprawled out over the sheets, contrasting greatly with the white. She tried to move again. She couldn't. An IV was attached to her arm. Needles made her nervous. She felt as if the long tube paralyzed her. Her fetters, her chains.
"Miss Gardner?" said a nurse clad in white.
More white. She wanted to kill it. She rolled over towards the nurse, her brittle frame threatening to break.
"Yes?"
Her voice belonged to someone else, a sick person, to a cancer patient, not her own.
"How do you feel?"
the nurse asked cheerfully, like she was expecting Eleanor to answer in the same manner. The nurse had her silver hair tied neatly in a bun. She wore vibrant makeups. Perhaps she was sick of the white, too.
"Confused and shitty," Eleanor answered tonelessly.
"Oh, poor dear. We'll have the doctor come in soon. You'll have to tell him what happened. The young man that brought you and didn't know.
It's not...
I can't remember," she exclaimed. Everything that had happened flowered into her mind like an open dam. Charlie, the gray eyes, the grass and the dirt, the man in the car, Charlie's warm hands.
"Ah, wait just a moment," said the nurse and moved to walk out.
"Wait."
The nurse turned around.
"The man that brought me is... Is he still here?"
"In the waiting area," the nurse nodded.
"Been there all the 6 hours you've slept."
"Shit," she breathed.
The nurse walked out. Eleanor lay back in the bed. Time washed over her. Hospital sounds echoed through the hall and into her room. Busy footsteps, cries of pain, shuffling of papers, an orchestra of beeping noises. A vending machine's buzzing. She had to pee, but she couldn't move. She was surprised by the IV, this immobilizing manacle. She heard footsteps slapping against the linoleum floor. A doctor, cloaked in white, walked in. He moved around the cordon that quarantined her, with a clipboard permanently attached to his hand. His shadow loomed over her, casting a certain final darkness over the white sheets. He moved close to her face.
"Miss Gardner?" he asked. His breath stunk of old coffee.
The name on his coat read, "Dr. Helen Beagles, M.D. She nodded. Sleep threatened to take over her. She could feel dark circles forming beneath her lower lids.
"Can I ask you a few questions?"
"Only if you have some answers," she replied.
"What is your full name?" he asked, not looking at her, but at the clipboard.
"Eleanor Elaine Gardner."
"What is your date of birth?"
August 2nd, 1985. "Husband, any children we should notify of your whereabouts?"
"No," she answered softly.
"Your mother and father's name?" "David and Lily Gardner. My mother passed not too long ago."
"Sorry to hear," he said in a voice that did not sound sorry at all.
This coming from a man who was surrounded by death and illness at every moment. Didn't face her. He was numb. He probably was the kind of man that got absorbed in work and neglected his family. Maybe his wife had left him.
"What was the cause of death?" he continued.
"Suicide. She threw herself off their apartment complex." Dr. Beagles looked up.
"Oh."
He regained his composure, clearing his throat. "Any history of illness, disease, heart attack, stroke?"
"Not that I know of."
"Any allergies we should be aware of?"
"Bee stings, amoxicillin."
Okay. You scribble this down on the clipboard. Now tell me what happened. How about you tell me what happened? Don't you remember? More questions. She'd been through all this. No, she fucking couldn't remember. Not one thing of how she ended up in some random field in the middle of nowhere. No. She answered simply. An overwhelming fatigue gripped her. The reluctance to explain nearly choked all other emotions. She felt sick. Sick and tired. Sick and unwilling. Stubborn. Well, let's start off with the injuries. Okay. You have had massive trauma to the head, brought on by a blow to the upper left-hand side. She reached up and touched the same spot as before. Her fingers contracted a bandage that she hadn't noticed before. The gauzy material seemed to constrict her thoughts. It's several bruises on your forearms. The doctor finished. She reached over. The IV gave a slight jerk. She retracted and felt the needle inside of her. You can move with the IV, said the doctor, sensing her difficulty. Yeah. She moved slowly and pulled up her sleeve. And there are slightly yellowed and black blue markings in the shape of fingers, lacing up her pale arms. She breathed it. Yeah, so tell me what you remember. The sick feeling returned. What if she couldn't? What if she refused? What if the world just ended right then? The story came spilling out of her mouth without warning. I drove to my father's house in Westchester yesterday afternoon from my apartment in Paoli. I got to Immaculata, the doctor nodded. He called that morning and said he missed me, that I didn't come by enough, so I made plans to drive down that afternoon. And when I got there, my dad let me, and we had coffee and talked. I told him about school, but he wasn't really listening. I could tell. He never really listens to anything anymore. I don't think he's got over Mom's death. The doctor's eyes were cold and unyielding. She didn't want to tell. She didn't want to confess. If there was anything to confess, she continued. And so it was getting in the late afternoon, and I had to get home. My dad said he wanted to show me something. He went back to his room. I switched on the TV. That's all I remember. The doctor nodded some more and jotted some things down on the clipboard. She left out the footsteps behind her. How they seemed heavier than her father's. She left out the way she felt the breath of fear down her neck. The way the silence and the fuzz of the TV seemed misplaced. How she didn't scream, even when she wanted so desperately. All right, do you have your father's number? We should give him a call. Perhaps it could be arranged for you to pick you up. Yes, she gave him the number. The doctor retreated out the threshold, his steps slapping away on the linoleum floor. She wanted to sleep. So badly. She wanted to remember. Perhaps in a dream she could. Yes, that was the compromise between the two wants. Some form of rest encumbered her. A knock. She awakened with a start. Dizziness set in. Her head spun. The chair and the sink and the whiteness of the room blurred into shape. Eleanor? Came a soft voice like strong black espresso. His voice stabilized her. Charlie? She called back. Yeah, can I come in? Yeah, he walked through the door, clad in the same brown button down that she had worn over. He sat in the chair across from her. How are you? He asked. Better, thanks. Yep, do you know? No. I see the nurse said they were calling your father. Yes, he's going to come pick me up. Oh. Listen, thank you for what you did. No, really. There's no reason for you to help me. You saved my life. Anytime. He shuffled his feet and they seemed to capture his interest. He looked nervous, which was complete contrast from the way he had confidently taken care of her. She surveyed his features more carefully. There was a scuff on his face. He looked dirty and worn. His jeans were tattered and dusty. And his eyes, the eyes of an angel. The first sight she saw was, as she woke up, a shadowy, gaunt, haunted look about them that made her shiver and burn in unison. Hey, Charlie? Why were you walking along the deserted road in Lanchester? She asked, suddenly surprising herself. I am a floater. I move from place to place, he said, looking up. She saw a flicker behind his stare, like he had been figured out, like his secret was exposed. And you just saw me lying in the middle of a field? Yes. The doctor interrupted them. He stood very grave, more grave than a normal ER doctor looked. He trembled slightly, his clipboard forgotten, his features set in stone. She wanted to take a chisel to him. Eleanor? He started. Charlie made a move to get up. She grabbed his hand. He sat back down. Yes, my father? We called and I'm sorry to say. He took a deep breath and grouped up his courage. Police answers. Your father's body has been found. In a field in Lanchester. That was Watch the Flowers by Quills. Thanks for listening, and for more pieces like these, and by the same author, visit storiesmania.net. And for any suggestions for a piece that you would like to have read, visit the official podcast thread in the Little Cafe. Thank you for listening.